named 10 members of clergy facing potential disciplinary proceedings following a review into sexual abuse by a Christian camp leader. Typical energy bills in England, Wales and Scotland are to rise by £111 in April, with Ofgem encouraging people to consider changing to fixed tariffs. BBC News.
Jane Steele. Lifestyle programmes, dancing and AI will be on the agenda shortly for Victoria Corran Mitchell, who'll be here with the programme which challenges established ideas and questions received wisdom. Heresy is this evening's 6:30 comedy.
Red Nose Day is back on the 21st of March.
Yes!
So whether you sound like Greg Jenner, Sue Perkins, or even this person, every laugh makes a difference. We're celebrating 40 years of comic relief and the nation doing something funny for money. Get involved at bbc.co.uk/Red Nose Day.
Hello and welcome to Heresy, the show that fights against received wisdom, such as Radio 4 panel shows are increasingly self-referential. And I'd like to see them use that as an opening on the news quiz. Joining me tonight to disagree with everything you think are Chris McCausland, Sarah Kendall and David Mitchell. We're going to start with a nightmare vision. Our live audience, and no doubt the listeners at home, believe AI presents a terrible threat to life as we know it.
We are the robots. We are the robots. We are the robots. We are the robots.
Artificial intelligence is already so advanced that the entire production of this show, including all the writing, the guests, the editing, and me, of course, could be replaced by AI algorithms, which would end up saving Radio 4 over £87.50. Tell me more good news, Chris McCausland. Why should we not be frightened of AI?
AI is here to save us from our own stupidity. I mean, calculators, they saved us from getting maths wrong all the time. AI is here to stop us from reasoning wrong every time. A lot of decisions in this world are made by men. Men think with their penis. AI does not have a penis.
Not yet.
It knows everything. It exists everywhere, and it is all powerful.
Maybe AI is God, come down on Earth to save us. Just something to think about.
Also genderless. Yeah, AI is genderless.
Yeah, yeah, but obviously God is a man. Yeah.
Sorry.
I think that's pretty well known.
I mean, even I've seen the pictures.
Sarah, tell us something reassuring about AI.
Well, I had a situation recently where I used AI. So my friend, brackets a lesbian, had a crush on a pharmacist, and she said, I want to ask the pharmacist out. So I said, you should write the pharmacist a note. And the note wasn't very good. So I said, why don't we use ChatGPT? We punched in all the information that we thought was necessary. And this is what AI came up with. Dear pharmacist, that's a strong opening. Forgive this pouring of my heart. I cherish pharmacy, where we first met. The moment I clapped eyes on you, I knew you were going to be a lesbian woman. Recently, I have begun to regard you as much more than just a lesbian woman. I was further wowed by your tremendous walking skills. Please say you'll be mine. My point is, that's stronger than what I came up with.
Why would it be fine if all radio was machine generated?
Well, I wouldn't say all radio, you know, not things I get paid for. Other stuff, you know. Ken Bruce. He's got to be, you've got to be able to do an AI of him. I'm fine for him to still get the money, but I think it's beneath his dignity to have to still turn up. People talk about it. It's going to write novels for us. It's going to compose music, all that. I fundamentally think we're not going to have that because we're obsessed with celebrity. If AI has written the films and AI constructs the people that are in the films, there's no gossip, and so we won't be interested in it. We need frail, flawed, self-absorbed, adulterous humans to make the art, or we just won't bother consuming it.
I agree with that. If I didn't know the actors and actors were real, I wouldn't bother watching pornography at all. But Chris, you're on tour at the moment. Why can't you replace yourself with an AI McCausland to do the performances?
I'd love to be a hologram. I'm quite selfish when it comes to AI, and if AI can satisfy my own greedy needs, then, to be honest, is it going to kill everybody? I don't really care if it does. I use AI all the time. I'm blind, so I use AI. It describes the world around me. I can ask it what things look like. If I'm buying something, I can ask it to describe that pair of shoes to me. And AI has proven to have more patience than any human I know. It never gets bored of my questions. It never tells me to shut up because it's watching CSI. I think I love it. I can just switch the camera on and talk to it, and it will describe everything that's going on around
me. See, that all sounds so brilliant, and yet still my laptop can't recognise my printer.
And would it access stuff from the internet and go, that is Sarah Kendall, she is an Australian
comedian?
No,
it would describe you as a brand new entity.
Five stars, yeah. The Guardian.
would it describe me as a brand new entity, Chris?
It accesses the internet for information as ChatGPT does, but it does not recognise faces because of privacy laws.
Right.
Which is, you know, one of the things that I would find useful because often I don't know who I'm talking to. So, if I could have that on a pair of sunglasses, just to let you know, Steve's coming up.
I mean, I think I'm saying we'd all want that, wouldn't we? Yeah. This idea that it's going to kill everybody, I mean...
No matter how bad AI is, I can't say how it's conceivably any worse than the current American administration. I genuinely... And look, that's... I am so much more afraid of humans.
I think the thing is, people worry that if AI takes over, it'll kill us. You know, and the answer to that is, yeah, a bit. But humans kill us as well.
Yeah.
But people are really snobbish about wanting to be killed by other people. Yeah. They think that makes them more important than being killed by a machine or a computer, yeah. Which is actually a horrendously prejudiced view. And this is why people don't like driverless cars. They don't like the idea of it. Now, I've never learnt to drive, and that's annoying of me, and it's even more annoying to my wife. At this point, I can't learn for two reasons. Firstly, I'm 50 and I can no longer learn, literally. But secondly, I'm holding out for the driverless cars, but it gets all this opposition from people who say, oh, there'll be accidents. Well, yeah, there will be accidents, but you won't be able to blame a boy racer or a lorry driver who fell asleep. That's the reason we're frightened of it.
Because the self-driving car, I can't wait. I mean, that's all my prayers answered. But the only problem is the cars have also become electric and they don't make a noise, which means I'll be run over before I get it.
Because of privacy laws, they won't be able to recognise your face and realise, oh, we'd better not run over him. He's a celebrity.
Let's go to the audience and find out why they fear AI. Rasheen Boyd, why do you think AI is a threat?
I'm just a bit frightened of everything like that. I just have no wish to speak to anybody that isn't real.
Do you like speaking to people who are real?
Just as well, I do.
I think it's overrated.
When you do get hold of a person, don't you find them incredibly annoying?
Extremely. But I don't want to waste time with a robot.
Do you know all those calls trying to swindle you out of cash that we get? Or we believe you've had an accident, or I'm phoning from a mobile phone provider that you're not signed up with. Vodafone have created an AI granny that will answer the phone to those people and waste their time on your behalf.
A Chinese company recently released an AI engine called DeepSeek, which can answer questions on anything as long as it's not about Tiananmen Square, when it will respond with the phrase, let's talk about something else. You know, like when John Turode is asked about Greg Wallace. Is that not a situation where you want the machines to rebel? You could end up with a machine with a greater social conscience than the people that programmed it.
I mean, if an AI will not talk about Tiananmen Square because it's been told not to, then I think we're pretty safe that it's not going to go rogue and kill everybody, isn't it? We've just got to tell it not to.
Yeah.
Again, the danger's humans, isn't it? It's not AI. I like that round of applause. It was like, that sounded like it needed one, but we're not sure whether we agree with him.
It's like the round the Lib Dem gets on question time.
Let's wind this topic up. Let's not be too frightened of AI. We've got to be open to change. And the fact is, we've been using robots for years anyway. I remember when I first got an electric toothbrush. It was amazing. I used it every morning and every night to great effect. And then about 18 months later, I found out you could also use it for brushing your teeth.
Oh, Radio 4's changed.
It's time to talk about a certain international duchess and her lifestyle advice in the new TV series, With Love, Meghan.
And you make everything, everything beautiful. You make everything, everything new. You make everything, everything beautiful. In its time, in your time, it's beautiful.
Netflix paid for a show featuring Meghan Markle's advice in the kitchen, garden, and even at the beehive. Be careful not to get stung, said the boss of Spotify. It's scheduled to start soon on TV, postponed from January for reasons of taste, and our audience believe it was important to postpone With Love, Meghan because of the fires in Los Angeles. Sarah, are you a fan of lifestyle tips and tricks?
I feel like I should be. I'm an abysmal homemaker. Every night I serve my children slop. And every night they're like, what is this? And every night I'm like, I don't know. I took a thing out of the cupboard and I boiled it. And I feel like the only reason why I don't watch these shows is because I think I'm better than the people who make them.
Chris, how important is it to you to colour code your book spines?
Well, as an avid listener of audiobooks, I don't have a bookshelf, but I have left a corner of the living room empty where I would have kept them. I'm always accused by my wife of putting practicality above aesthetics. You know, if something's practical to me, I don't care what it looks like, you know? If it serves a purpose, it belongs in the living room. And I will keep on peddling that argument until the day I die. All of these home improvement shows that say that things should look pretty and think this colour goes with that colour and this fabric goes with that fabric, get rid of them all and replace them with shows that just say practical things take precedent over everything else.
That's the kind of show I could host.
David, I know you care about beautiful presentation in the home because recently you tidied up your workspace in our house after only 11 years. Have you ever even seen a lifestyle show or do you know what we're talking about?
Your tone of voice has changed dramatically on this one.
I think I've seen bits of one. In my bachelor days, I used to watch cookery programmes while eating the usual thing I'd eat. You know, I'm imagining, you know, this lovely risotto and having cheese on toast.
But the point of this is, this show that Meghan's made was going to be on all about making your house lovely, and they postponed it because of these fires. Yes. I would say, if you're going through a traumatic time, sometimes you just want to stare at something mindless, or Prince Harry, as Meghan calls him. Was it necessary to postpone the series?
I don't have a problem with Harry and Meghan. Whether or not you play a dumb program during a bushfire or not, it just doesn't... It doesn't matter. Like, there's never going to be a point, given this is the end of days and we're living through the end of our civilization.
Although the Archers is on at 7 o'clock, as usual.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, fair enough. Like, when is the appropriate... I don't know, there's, like...
There won't be a sufficiently bland sort of stretch of current affairs to allow her programme to be broadcastable.
No, I don't think we're in that era anymore.
Talking about cookery programmes, there's usually a fair amount of starvation in the world, so you could argue you must never show a cookery programme because it's incredibly offensive to people who are dying of starvation.
Yes.
But fundamentally, unless anyone would think that she was spitefully putting her show out at the same time as the LA fires to sort of rub their noses in the fact that their houses had now burned down, then there shouldn't be a problem. And no one sane would think that, even her worst enemy, and obviously that's quite a competition. But people would have complained, and the media constantly is essentially defers to these I would say, spiteful complainers who just say, oh, no, hang on, something terrible beginning with B happened yesterday, and then you just put on a programme mentioning Birmingham.
Is it called With Love, Meghan?
With Love, Meghan, yeah.
Do you know, in Australia, we'd say Megan, and it just sounds so much better. We'd love Megan.
Megan.
It's Megan. Megan's lifestyle show. Megan's going to make a Dorito sandwich.
It's just so insincere, though, isn't it? Like she just makes jam. Like she paints a room herself. Like she's ever touched a Hoover.
I think she does make jam. I think she's very good at preserving things as long as it's not the integrity of the royal family. Of course, getting the world making and mending and doing your own jam and stuff, it's good.
Well, the thing is, though, that's my problem with lifestyle shows from the very small bits of them I've seen, is that they do seem to be making everyone feel guilty. You ought to be doing more crafts. You ought to be doing more cookery. Your life isn't wholesome enough. Here's a lovely little thought of something that would take 9 hours you haven't got. I wouldn't mind the lifestyle shows if they were just more honest and they would have someone shouting, your house is a dump! Find a modicum of self-respect and do something. Rather than just, hey, it's really nice of these pastel shades, but sure, if you're happy with that hovel, go with it.
Let's ask the audience what they think. Debbie Bradshaw, are you a fan of lifestyle shows?
Yes, I am.
What do you think Meghan Markle brings to the party?
Cake. I like cake.
But do you think it's possible that her recipe is going to be, you know, first, tell your cook to make a cake? or do you believe she's really doing it?
No, I don't believe she's really doing it, no.
It's nice sometimes, because she's not going to invent a new cake, is she? I mean, God help us if she does, but she's probably going to just do cakes we already know about. In the paper, every Christmas, I always feel sorry for the food writers who have, you know, they've been doing it for 15, 20 years, and they have to come up with a new best way to do turkey. You go, no, you did your best way to do turkey in the first year, and that was to do it normally, like everyone does it. But now you're doing, why not do it with sugar snap peas and, you know, in a gravy of whey? Just wrap it in vine leaves and leave it outside since October.
Debbie, why are you looking forward to seeing Meghan host a lifestyle show?
I want to see a Meghan sponge.
A Meghan sponge?
As opposed to a Victoria sponge.
Do you think, Debbie, that they were right to postpone that show because of what was happening?
Yes, I do.
But even though they're going to show it at a time when lots of people don't have nice houses and can't afford to keep their own bees.
It just seemed in poor taste to publicise it at that time, so...
Do you think they should take all of those programmes off the television in this country every time there is flooding that affects a village?
Chris rendered our lovely audience member silent. We win! And nobody needed to postpone Meghan's lifestyle show because of the LA fires. There is some good news. Meghan and Harry have a new deal with Spotify. $7.99 a month, and they can listen on three devices at once. Finally, we're going to talk about a popular modern cliché.
I wanna dance, 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 dance like nobody's watching. I wanna dance, 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 dance like nobody's watching. I wanna dance, 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 dance like nobody's watching.
Chris McCausland, of course, won the 22nd series of Strictly Come Dancing.
I hope the next question isn't, but should he have?
No, it was amazing. Chris did something on Strictly that nobody thought was possible. He got through a whole series and didn't have sex with his partner. Genuinely... one of the greatest things I've seen in my lifetime. It was powerfully inspiring. It was incredible. So I can't start with you here, Chris. David, what's wrong with the idea you should dance like nobody's watching?
Well, I don't like dancing, but the only circumstances where I would entertain the notion of dancing is if people were watching, and I had to for some reason. If nobody's watching, I'm absolutely not going to do it at all. Sometimes you have to dance. If you're in a show on stage, I've had to dance under those circumstances, and I've gone along with it. But I didn't enjoy it. If there had been nobody there, I would have stood still. So that is the dance I would do if nobody's watching.
Sarah, you're Australian.
Yes.
That must mean you can do things unselfconsciously.
Thank you, I think. Like, obviously, we're talking about embarrassment and not having embarrassment. And I can remember, like, when I was a kid, before I had any concept of embarrassment, and I used to always leave the bathroom door open. And I remember when I was about 8, I was obsessed with the song Beat It by Michael Jackson. And I was trying to do the Beat It dance before getting in the shower. And I was watching myself in the mirror. Right, and I was a very overweight child, and my brother and his friends all came back from Scouts, and I was dancing like no one was watching. I really was, and then I realised that four 12-year-olds were watching me dance naked like Michael Jackson. I froze, and it was like getting cast out of the Garden of Eden. It was like this moment where I became self-conscious. And for 3 years after that, they called me Michael Fatson.
Chris, people will always be watching when you dance now, but will you be unself-conscious because you've learned how to do it?
No, I mean, and this phrase, you should dance like nobody's watching, I don't agree with it. I went into Strictly feeling embarrassed and is the most terrifying thing I've ever been a part of. And I got more comfortable with my fear and my terror. And I think letting people witness that is what connected with people. You have to live through that humiliation and embarrassment. That is what makes us British. And so you should dance like people are watching and just live and experience the horrible feeling that you're being stared at with your flippy out arms and your lack of rhythm. And just really find comfort in the fact that you're comfortable with that. That's how you get there.
I actually like dancing. Well, the last time I went dancing was years ago and I managed to pull something awkward. My husband. I'm self-conscious about everything else, about getting changed in a changing room, about walking along a street, about choosing food from a buffet, everything, about talking to people. It's all just so embarrassing to be alive. And I've put this topic in the show because I want to get to a point where I believe this has a purpose, that there's something good about self-consciousness.
I think self-consciousness is important. It's what separates us from the animals. Apart from cats, you can see they get embarrassed. If something makes you feel embarrassed and awful, it will probably look awful and you should stop.
I never want to see you let go.
I think it's time to embarrass the audience. Dewi Rhys Owen. Is there really somebody that Welsh here? Croeso cynnes, where are you?
Diolch yn fawr, yeah, Dewi.
Did you say Derek?
Dewi, it's a Welsh name.
No, I thought you said Derek.
Dewi. Right. Lovely.
What's going on? I'm so... Did you say Dewi? I said Dewi. Dewi? Yeah, Dewi.
We are not finding your name comical. I just want to get it right.
Perfect.
So, Derek.
You agree you should dance like nobody's watching. Do you dance? Have you ever had a dance lesson?
I'm currently learning to dance bachata.
Why? Why have you decided to learn that?
My ex-girlfriend got me into it.
Do you mind my asking, Dewi? were you together when she suggested the lessons?
I can't actually remember. I've always wanted to learn, and so took up the opportunity.
I'm so sorry. So, hang on.
You're looking for an order of events.
Yeah,
aren't you?
I'm absolutely lost.
I think you've got the relationship ends, then the dancing is suggested, and now the dancing is happening.
But I disagree. No.
What do you reckon?
I think when they were together...
I mean, we could just ask him.
No. I think when they were together, she was like, we should do some dancing. Then they started dancing together, broke up. You're still going to the dancing lessons. She's disappeared.
What I think happened was they were in a relationship, they broke up, now she's having her revenge.
Can we just find out? Who's right?
David might have been right.
Yes. Music to my ears. Or almost musical enough to make me dance.
Dewi, would you say that dancing in public is more or less embarrassing than the experience you just had on this show?
About the same.
Thank you very much, Dewi, and I'm sorry.
By the way, Chris, why does Anton Dubek say samba? And why doesn't anyone say, why do you say samba? It's just like no one's hearing it apart from me.
I didn't notice, to be honest. I had such a horrific experience with the samba. I think I just blocked it all out. Yeah.
Did anybody see his paso doble? Hello.
I've kept the outfit.
Let's wind up the show with the reassuring advice that you don't have to dance like nobody's watching. It's okay to feel embarrassed at all times. Embarrassment is nature's stop sign. So always imagine that you're being watched, judged, and disapproved of. Well, that reminds me, I must call my mother. Thanks very much to the audience and to my guests, David Mitchell, Sarah Kendall, and Chris McCausland. Good night.
Heresy is written and presented by Victoria Curran-Mitchell with additional material from Dan Gaster and Charlie Skelton. It was produced by Victoria Curran-Mitchell and Daisy Knight. And the series was created by David Bedil. It is an Avalon production for BBC Radio 4. And tomorrow, the final ever episode of Reincarnathan. Will the great man ever make it to Elysium? Find out tomorrow night at 6:30.
Hello, I'm Frank Skinner, and I'm here to tell you about the new series of One Person Found This Helpful, the show that looks at online reviews. The world of online reviews can be a strange place, but luckily me and my all-star panel are here to celebrate the good, the bad, and the baffling. Everything you'll hear in the show is genuine, including the person who reviewed Ben Nevis by saying, "Very steep and too high." The new series of One Person Found This Helpful with me, Frank Skinner, on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds. Starts next Monday night at 6:30.
After the news, Lillian struggles to get let go of the past in The Archers.